This morning we're looking at 1 Timothy. We were in that book, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Amen. And we want to, all the T's are together in the Bible. And so if you go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, we're looking at verse number 12. We made some changes, but we'll look at verses 11 and 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6, amen, verses 11 and 12, part of 12. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. And we'll stop there. Amen. Praise the Lord. So this morning we want to talk about cotton candy Christians. Amen. Cotton candy Christians. Man, can everybody say cotton candy Christian? Amen. We could say cotton candy clergyman, but we'll just follow the Spirit. You may be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Well, amen. Amen. So often we fall for the okey-doke. Amen. And when we fall for the okey-doke, the first thing that happens is that there is an addiction. Amen. We get addicted to it. And then after that, amen, we find ourselves answering to it. Amen. We answer to the okie doke, and as we do that, we move forward and we become addicted. We answer to it, and then we find ourselves given in to the culture. Amen. We give in to the culture, and then after that we become contemporary Christians. Amen. And then after that we find ourselves being cotton candy Christians. Amen. Amen. It's weird, but the truth is that when we talk about this, we must recognize that cotton candy is a candy that is made by spinning sugar. Amen. That has been boiled at a high temperature. Amen. That's how it's made. Amen. And then, but we know it to be that which is insubstantial. Amen. There is that reality. It is insubstantial because of the lack of substance or material nature. Amen. There's a lack of substance and material nature. Amen. We know that once you consume it, it disappears. Amen. It is, amen, it is cotton Amen. Candy. It's not built for the long haul. If it's one thing we know about it, we know that it is not going to stay. It is not going to last. Amen. It disappears quickly. Amen. And the aim of our sermon is for us that we don't fall. Amen. For the okie doke. Amen. That we don't fall for the okie doke. Amen. This term, the okie doke, is to be, bamboozled or tricked. Amen. Getting somebody to say okie dokie and go along with something that often does not serve in their best interest. Amen. It's really a prison term that they use in prison. Amen. To try to get somebody to do something. And it also is an Obamaism. Amen. Amen. This is a term that is coined by Obama. He used that a lot. Amen. Okie dokie. Amen. Okay. Okay. It's an extended version of okay. It's falling for the okie doke. And the aim of our sermon is that we don't fall for it. Amen. Amen. I may not get it the way it ought to be preached. Amen. This weather or something, it seemed like. Amen. But after the way that choir sung this morning, I should be where I need to be, but I'm still struggling. Amen. The okie doke is something that we have to watch out for. Amen. It's a way that we get tricked. Amen. We know that Eve fell for it. Amen. In the garden, she was in the garden, and she, Satan was going to pull the okie doke on her, and he told her that, you know, if you eat of this fruit, amen, you will not surely die. Amen. God is just really keeping you back. Amen. God knows that you will be wiser. And so she fell for it. Amen. She fell for it, and she found out that it was nothing but cotton candy. Amen. Amen. She had an issue where she had fallen now into a bad situation and has plunged the entire world into sin simply because she fell for it. Amen. She fell for the okey-doke. Amen. We know that not only in the garden, but generations, our younger generation, if they're not careful, amen, without wisdom and guidance from, amen, the generation before them, amen, that they too can fall, amen, they can become tricked. Amen. They can become fooled. Amen. And something that they thought was going to be a benefit ended up letting them down. Amen. Amen. And not only when it comes to, amen, the garden and the generation of youth, but when it comes to the gospel. Amen. We fall for these false prophets, these false preachers, these false pastors, these false Christs. amen, those who are purporting to be something that they are not. And they are peddling a gospel, amen, that won't last. Their leaders are dead, and yet they claim to be leading a religion. But the founder is dead. But how many of y'all know that we're the only one? Amen. The gospel is that Christ died and that he was buried and that he rose from the dead. We are the only ones. Amen. Who didn't, amen, eat some something that would not last. The gospel will, in fact, last. You, amen. Thank you, Gloria. Amen. The gospel will last. Amen. Amen. And so here what we have is Paul had talked about different kinds of relationships he had in the previous chapter in this book. He had talked about the aged or the elderly, elder man. He had talked about widows. He had talked about those who were widows indeed. He had talked about ruling elders. Amen. And in verses 1 and 2, he had talked about servants. Amen. Or slaves. Those modern day term would be those who are employed. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with making the right kind of a living. And so what he says is that you need to honor God even in, amen, your secular job. Amen. You ought to be the best employees that a company can have. Amen. Amen. Because you are honoring God even on your job. And we don't want to make God look bad. What a blessing to know that we are the best employees. Amen. That the world can find. The children of God. Amen. We don't come in early and leave. Amen. We don't come in late and leave early. Amen. We earn our money. There's nothing wrong with an honest day's living and making it. And so, amen. It was the focus on that, to get our money and make it in an honest way and do it the way God wants us to do it. It's because that is godliness. Amen. Amen. That is godliness. And then he said that you got to watch those who teach anything different in verse 3. Anything different. If any man teach otherwise, amen, and they don't consent to these words of the Lord, amen, this doctrine which is according to godliness. Oh, we want to be godly. Amen. Amen. He said, anybody else that teach anything different, these other preachers that may be teaching anything different, and he says that they were teaching that which was in verse 5, it is perverse, it is bad, and it is destitute of truth. Amen, amen. What those others are teaching does not have any truth in it. Amen. How many of you know you're already in trouble if they're not preaching the truth? Amen. Destitute of truth. Amen. He says that they teach that gain is godliness. Amen. Amen. Gain is godliness. That's what they teach. Amen. They teach that a quick, rich, money-making messages, sermons, amen, a life, a sermon about prosperity, that you just name it and claim it. You, amen. Somebody say, blab it and grab it. Amen. It's a hocus pocus gospel. It means that, amen, God is going to make you rich if you just simply follow my words. And because of that, they have caused people, persons, to flock to their church. Amen. Because they got, it's like a candy store. It's like you can get, amen, everything is going to be all right now. Amen. This gospel is one that says that gain is godliness. To get rich is godly. Amen. That God wants you to get rich. Amen. And if you come and listen to my gospel, if you send your money through the mail, amen, 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 then you will, you gain is godliness. Riches is godliness. Amen. And that's what he's teaching here, is that gain is godliness. And then he says, from such withdraw thyself. Don't have anything to do with that, amen, that message. To gain is godliness. And so he says that you need to withdraw yourself from it. And he says that it's not that gain is godliness in verse 6, but it's that godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Contentment is it means inner sufficiency. Amen. Contentment means that it does not matter what is happening on the external circumstances, but on the inside, amen, you are content. Amen. You are filled and full on the inside. Amen. You feel with the Holy Spirit on the inside, and because you're saved, he gives you all that you need. Amen. This is what he's saying, is that godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen. Amen. It's not just gain, it's great gain. Godliness. I've got Jesus. There's nothing wrong with prosperity as long as it's not your motive. It doesn't matter whether God blessed me. He said he opened up the windows to pay my tithes. He said he'll, you know, he'll bless you and give you the desires of your heart. But how many of y'all know that if you got a different heart, your desires change? Amen. My motive is not one to get rich. I'm not motivated by materialism. Amen. Amen. I do what I'm supposed to do because it is right. It is godly. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And what is godliness? Well, godliness is to be godly is to have a knowledge of truth. Amen. You can't be godly without it. Amen. You got to know what the truth is. Amen. And truth, it is truth, amen, that takes the power out of temptation. That's the thing about truth. The thing about it, amen, is you find out the truth, and now the devil can't fool you no more. That's one of the reasons why you need to hang around some real wise people. Amen. Amen. The devil is in trouble now because you can't trick me now. You know, you used to could trick me. Amen. You can't do it no more. Chicken days are over. Amen. Because my knowledge of truth takes the power out of temptation. You already know that it's nothing but cotton candy. Amen. It's not going to be worth it. And so he says that what we need to do is to recognize that godliness with contentment, that inner peace of mind, Amen. Amen. I know I made my money honestly. I did the right thing. Amen. 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 And now you rich without money. Godliness with contentment. Amen. You and that's greater than the gain is godliness. I don't need the materialism. He says godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen. And he says you didn't bring anything and you're not gonna. Amen. We went over that. Amen. Amen. Take anything out. We may come back to another version of it. Amen. We didn't. And so he says don't get fooled and wrapped up with money, because money is the love of it, is the root of all evil. Amen. The love of it. Nothing wrong with money. It's the love of money is the root. It's a root. Amen. Money can help you be access to all that is evil. Amen. Money can. And so he told him that I want you to do is I want you, in verse 12, verse 11, I want you to flee those things. Amen. He said, but thou, O man of God, amen. He called him a man of God. Amen. He called Timothy, a lot of writers point out that he called Timothy a man of God. He's in good company. Amen. He called Moses a man of God. I believe in Isaiah, in Deuteronomy 33:1, he called him a man of God. Amen. He called Elijah a man of God. And here he calls him, thou, O man of God. Amen. You are a man of God. You represent God. Amen. And he's giving him a high title here. Man of God. That's who you are. I want you to flee these things. I want you to flee these things. Amen. Because of who you are, I want you to flee these things. Amen. 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 We can't get hung up on things. And he says, I want you to flee these things. And he says that we know that money can be enticing, because the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, I believe it's verse 19, he says that money answers all things. Man, money answers all things. Amen. Money can be enticing because of what it can get you. Amen. Amen. Money itself will not feed you nor clothe you. Amen. But it makes you access to it. Amen. It answers the needs of life. Amen. So this is something that we must understand, is that it meets needs. But what we need to recognize today is that when we think about that which is temporary, he said, I want you to flee this stuff because, amen, godliness is what is, godliness with contentment is great gain. And he don't want him to sell his life out for money, things, position, nothing but cotton candy. Amen. It's not going to last. But there are Christians who are just crazy about it, wild about it. They wild about cotton candy. Amen. They are Christians. And although the permanent life is on the other side of death, they're more concerned about what happens on this side. Amen. That's what a lot of people are concerned about. Amen. This temporary life. We must see, amen, possessions, positions, amen, Look at that little, it's a redundant list on purpose. I just threw a lot of things in there. Pleasures, they got it up for me. Fortune, amen. That's temporary. People break their neck trying to have fame. Amen. Make a name for themselves. Amen. Problems are temporary. Amen. People, success is something that is temporary. Amen. And you could go through, amen, it didn't matter who you are, architect, having a big name, being a big shot, being rich, amen, having rights, having a reputation, homes, cars, clothes, and superstars and celebrities are the same thing, but the redundancy is intentional. Health and wealth, temptation is even temporary, amen. The positions you hold. Chairman is temporary, amen. You an engineer making a lot of money, that's all temporary. Doctors, amen, amen. Dentists, clergymen, amen. Presidents, even your enemies are temporary. If you got any, you got any enemy, that's temporary, amen. We can put too much in this life, amen. This temporary life, amen, amen. And sin is temporary. We won't always have to deal with sin. Amen. It goes on and on. All these things that people will do all they can to get to the top to get and to gain, they are all temporary.